Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Psachim, Daf Pei Vav, the last Daf in the seventh Perek, Ketzad Soin. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, on the bottom of Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, Rav said, Gagin Valios Unisgadshu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Katshe Kalim, such as the Pesach, could not be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling, as Rav said in the name of Rechia, Kizesa Pischa Vahalela Paki Igra. A kazais for each registrant and the sound of the hallel would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracking. So this implies they used to recite hallel on the rooftops and suggests they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers that they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited hallel on the roofs, and further clarifies that hallel was recited after the meal concluded. Rashi explains that there was no longer a concern that people would carry some meat with them. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Shtei Chabur Sheyu Ochem B'Bayis Echor, if two groups were eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean that they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups. The Mishnah continues, then each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, for it was taught in the Braisa that the Pasuk states, Ahabatim Asher Yochu Osu Behem, on the houses in which they will eat it, this teaches the plural word houses that the Pesach may be eaten in two groups. Now it might be thought that one who's eating the Pesach may eat in two places. Therefore, the Pasuk states, Bebayis Echod Ye'achel, in one house shall he eat it. Now the Gemara explains that even though this simple translation of the Pasuk is, in one house shall it be eaten, Rav Yehuda holds Yesh Emel Masoris, that when expounding a word, primacy is given to its written form. Rabbi Shimon says, when the Pasuk states, Al-Batim Asher Yochu Osu Behem, it teaches that one who is eating the Pesach may eat it in two places. Rashi explains that the expression, they will eat it, refers to each individual. Now, it might be thought that the Pesach may be initially eaten in two groups. Therefore, the Pasuk states, Bebayis Echod Ye'achel, in one house it shall be eaten. Rabbi Shimon understands that initially the group must sit down together to eat the Pesach in one place, and then individuals can move to another location. Rabbi Shimon holds Yesh Emel Mikra, that when expounding a word, primacy is given to its pronunciation. And point number three, the Gemara relates that when Rav Huna Breda Rav Nassim visited the home of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior. When they offered him to sit on a couch, he seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit on the forward chair, as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offer. And he drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. So when they asked him about his behavior explained regarding sitting on a couch, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the cup on first offer because one may refuse a lesser man, but one may not refuse a great man. He drank it in two drafts because it states in a braisa that drinking one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. So once again, the three points are, number one, on the bottom of Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, Rav said, Gagin Valios Lo Nisgadshu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Katshin calling such as the Pesach could not be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling, as Rav said in the Merichia, Kezesa Pischa Valela Paki Igra, a kazais for each registrant and the sound of the hollow would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracking. This implies that they used to recite hollow on the rooftops and suggests that they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers that they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited hollow on the roofs, and further clarifies that hollow was recited after the meal concluded. Rashi explains that there was no longer a concern that people would carry some meat with them. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Shtei Chabur Sheyu Ochem B'Bayis Echor, two groups were eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean that they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups, then each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, for it was taught in Braisa that the Pasuk states, Al-Batim Asher Yochu Osu Behem, on the houses in which they will eat it, this teaches the Pesach may be eaten in two groups. It might be thought that one who's eating the Pesach may eat it in two places. Therefore, the Pesach states, Bebayis Echod Ye'achel, in one house shall he eat it. The Gemara explains that even though the simple translation of the Pesach is, in one house shall it be eaten, Rav Yehuda holds Yesh Emel Masoris, that when expounding a word, primacy is given to its written form. Rav Shimon says, when the Pesach states, Al-Batim Asher Yochu Osu Behem, it teaches that one who's eating the Pesach may eat it in two places. Rashi explains that the expression, they will eat it, refers to each individual. Now, it might be thought that the Pesach may be initially eaten in two groups. Therefore, the Pasuk states, Bebayis Echod Ye'achel, in one house it shall be eaten. Rabbi Shimon understands that initially the group must sit down together to eat the Pesach at one place, and then individuals can move to another location. Rabbi Shimon holds Yesheim LaMikra, that when expounding a word, primacy is given to its pronunciation. And pointing through the Gemara relates, when Rav Huna Breda Rav Nassim visited the home of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior. When they offered him to sit on the couch, he seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit on the forward chair as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offer, and he drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. When they asked him about his behavior, he explained regarding sitting on the couch, Kol Masha Amar Baal Bais Asa, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the first cup on first offer because Masarvin Lakatin Ve'en Masarvin Lagada, one may refuse a lesser man, but one may not refuse a great man. He drank it in two drafts because it states in a brisa that drinking in one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Pei Vav, and our standard simon is police. So here goes. The police who responded to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing hallel on the unconsecrated roofs. While they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. Once again in slow motion. The police, that must mean Ronduff, Pei Vav. The police who responded to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing hallel on unconsecrated roofs, which reminds us on the bottom of Pei Hei Amud Beis, Rav said, Gagim Valios Lemiskadshu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Kachim calling such as the Pesach cannot be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling. As Rav himself said in the name of Bichia, Kazesa Pesach V'Halela Paka Ikra, a kazais for each registrant and the sound of the hollow would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracking. This implies they used to recite hallel on the rooftops and suggests they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited hallel on the roofs and further clarifies that hallel was recited after the meal concluded. Rashi explains that there was no longer concern that people would carry some meat with them. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing hallel on unconsecrated roofs. While they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach, which reminds the next Mishnah states, Shtei Chabur Shei Ochen B'Bayis Echav. If two groups are eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups, then each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Pesach may be eaten in two groups, but each person may only eat it in one place. Rabbi Shimon holds each person can eat in different places, but when they initially sit down, they must do so as one group. The Machlokas is based on whether one holds Yesh Emu Masoras, primacy is given to the way the words are written in the Pasuk, or Yesh Em LaMikra, primacy is given to the way the words are pronounced. So the police who responded to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing hallel on unconsecrated roofs, while they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. Which reminds the Gemara relates when Rav Huna Breda Rav Nassim visited the home of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior. When they offered him to sit on a couch, he seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit in the forward chair as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offer. He drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. When they asked him about his behavior, he explained regarding sitting on the couch, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the cup on first offer because Masarvin Lakatan Ve'en Masarvin Lagadol, one may refuse a lesser man, but we may not refuse a great man who drank in two drafts, because it states in a brisa that drinking in one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. So once again, the police who responded to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing hallel on unconsecrated roofs, while they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Pei Beis. So the simmer Daf Pei Beis is a pub. So here goes. The beer pub, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Beis. The beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why there's a problem of burning one's own wood before the beer? Rav Yosef said, Shalul Avayish as Mishaimlo, in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rav said, Mifnei Choshad, because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take excess wood home might think they're taking from the Maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the Maracha. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises, which reminds the Gemara for the source that meat taken out of its boundary is burned, as opposed to another message such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed and none of an Avihu died. After rejecting this source, as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's halacha l'moshe misinai that all psulim of Kodesh are burned. And the Torah mentions the details around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tummy customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in a fire. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tu ubar saraso v'yasar peshishasar. If the owners became tummy or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so that it will become pusle as nosar, and it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochanan Broga says, Avze yasar miyad v'yifnishem l'abalim. This one too should be burned at once because it has no way to eat it. Rabbi Yosef says the Malchus pertains to a case when the owners became tummy before the Zrikas Adam, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan Broka considers it a psul b'gufa, whereas the Tanakama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tummy after the Zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the psul occurred, then it became possible from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it's burned. Rabbi Yochanan understands the Malchus applies even in a case where the owners became tummy after the Zrika's Adam. Daf Pei Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Once again in slow motion. The reigning pogo stick champion, that must be more in Duff, Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar, which reminds the next Mishnah states that the bone sinews and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burned on the 16th of Nisan. Rav Mari Bar Avoh said in the name of Yitzchak, bones of any kajin that served as a carry of nosar are matam in the hands of the Rabban like nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a davar aser. The Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, but rejects the proof, saying, Shimush nosar lav milsi. Serving nosar as a basis is not a factor, and the ton of our Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated of etzim latish bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means, bakasher ba'afil ba'pasel, a kasher pesach, and even a pasel pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the pesach becomes nosar, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, which reminds Rav Yudah said the name of Rav called Gidim Basar Chutz Migidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayas of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than the flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from a Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th, because the mitzvahs to burn them are not dochah Shabbos or yantiv. The Gemara asks why the burning doesn't override yantiv. Let the asay to burn nosar come and be dochah the losas if not din malach and yantiv. So Chizkiyah said the pasuk states, "Lo sishim mimenu ad boker, but nosim mimenu ad boker, but eish tisrufu." You shall not leave any of it until morning. Any of it that's left until morning, you shall burn in fire. So why was it necessary to state ad boker a second time? We can lo boker shen lisrufu so to give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol HaMoed. Abai and Rabbi brought two additional sources, and Rav Ashi said, Shabbason de Yom Tov Asehu. The pasuk regarding rest on Yantiv is an Aseh ve'in Aseh doche los Aseh v'Aseh. And a single Aseh, such as the mitzvah of burning Noser, does not override the combination of an Aseh and los Aseh. Daf Pei Dalet, so the Simur Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. The spaceship on the launch pad, about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tower of Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chayv Malkus for breaking its bone. So once again, slow motion. The spaceship on the launch pad, that must be Ram Duff Pei Dalet. The spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, which reminds us that Rabba contrasts the two parts of the next mission discussing which parts of the pets are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated that anything that's edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. This implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid, but the latter part of the mission continues, including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rabba concluded that some alchokas tonight that the latter part was a Yesh Omrim who holds that the ends of the shoulder blades and other cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox they can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a Mahin Katani, or what are they? And this is what it means to teach, anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. What are these parts? Rashi confined by Susim. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved. He didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tahor Pesach, which reminds us it was taught in a brice regarding why one doesn't receive malchus for leaving over a part of the Tahor Pesach. It says in the Pasuk, you shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that's left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So the Pasuk comes to give an ase to burn the leftover after it says the los ase against leaving over to teach so one doesn't get malchus. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that that's not the reason, but rather, it's because the prohibition of leaving over does not involve an action, and therefore one doesn't get malchus for that. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved. He didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tahor Pesach, while a team of 8 scientists debated why he wasn't Chai Malkus for breaking its bone. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brace that the Pasuk states, Ve'etzmo tishru bo, and you shall not break a bone in it, bo, bekashvelo bepasel. The phrase in it implies in a valid Pesach, but not in an invalid one. But Rebbe says, Bebayis echod yechel, Ve'etzmo tishru bo, in one house it shall be eaten, and the Pasuk continues, and you shall not break a bone in it. The juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs is coming to teach, whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakhamas. So the Gemara brings 8 amors that explain the difference, and then concludes with a brisa that conforms to 4 of them. Daf Pehe, so the Simfer Hei is a mouth, we use a dentist. So here goes. The Chabur, a proud dentist. Dentist, that must mean run Daf Pehe, Peh, mouth. The Chabur, a proud dentist, whose hands were always taller as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, which reminds us, was taught in the Mishnah, Pigol Venoser Metamnis Yadayim. Pigol Venoser are Metami the hands that touch, which Rashi explains them in the Rabbanan. Pigol Mishum Chajde Kohuna. Pigol because of suspect Kohanim would want to cause a monetary loss to those they didn't like. The Rabban therefore decreed 2 on their hands to be material of the Kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. And Nosim Mishum Atzrei Kohuna, because of lazy Kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy Kohanim to eat the meat, who might otherwise have let it become Nosar. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the Pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes that there was no need b'nei chabura's reason hen. The members of the group that offer the Pesach are zealous, and they're careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. So the chabura, proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take the Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chabura of orthodontist carry a carcass out in poles and place it down, which reminds us, Rabbi Yami said, Hamotzi batsu pesach mechabura, chabura eino chayv ad shi'aniach. If one removes meat of the Pesach from the location one group to another of another group, he's not chayv unless he places it down in a new location. Hotzak sibe kashabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat, like it's written concerning Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, one's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanach, so too here a person's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanach. Rabbi Yami would challenge him for a mission on Zvachim regarding carrying the carcasses of the inner chatas offerings out on poles beyond the walls of the Azara, where those in the front are metamei their garments as soon as they emerge from the Azara, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. So Rabbi Yami bar Amar resolved his own question, saying it was benigrarim. The Mishnah is dealing with the case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosa says it was lav dafka that they're dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within 3 tefachim of the ground and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. So the chabura, proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chabur of orthodontist carrying a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion dove in. Which reminds us, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the Pesach Chatzai Mina Agav Lifnim Kol Lifnim, from the Dor Jam inward as it judges inside, Mina Agav L'chutz Kol Chutz, and from the Dor Jam outward is considered outside. But you just said the name of Rav, the Ken L'Tfilah, the same Allah applies regarding Tfilah. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who said, Afil Mechitzu Shol Barza Inim Avsechus Ben Yisrael L'Avihim Shev Shamayim, even metal barrier does not separate between the Jews and their Father in Heaven. Rashi explains that there's no such thing as a barrier before Kodesh Baruch Hu, since everything's revealed to him. Therefore, the Dor Jam is not affected, and they're viewed as one group. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos Erev. Number 1. Which stuff do you want to have Rav Huna berated Rav Nassan explain his behavior to his host regarding reclining on the couch and drinking the cup of wine? That's on Duff. Peivav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you want Rabbi Shuman Levi says that even Mechitza or Barzel cannot separate Yisrael from Avihem Shemeshamayim? That's on Duff. Peihei. Good. Number 3. Wish up the one that anything that is edible on a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid in terms of being fit to be counted as portions for the Pesach. That's on Duff. Pay Dalad. Good. Number 4. Wish up that we have 8 different Amoraim giving their opinion as to the difference between a Bryce and Rebbe as to which bones are not subject to the prohibition of breaking bones. That's on Duff. Pay Dalad. Good. Number 5. Wish up the one that the bones of the Pesach must be burned because of the marrow in them, as it's forbidden to break them even after they become noser. That's on Duff. Pei Gimel. Good. Number 6. Wish up the one that no gezerah being metaming the hands was needed for the Bnei Chabura regarding taking the Pesach outside, since they are zrizim and careful not to do it. That's on Duff. Pehei. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do Melchok is in a case where the community is evenly split, whether Metame, one of the Tower of People with the Sheretz, or send him to a distant road? That's on Duff. Hey, good. Number 8. Which daf li malchuk is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding how exactly two groups partake of a single Pesach? That's on daf. Pei vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf did we learn that the tzitz is maratz for tumas at the home? That's on daf. Hey, good. Number 10. Which daf li malchuk is why one may not burn their own wood before the beer? That's on daf. Pei beis. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf did we learn what one does if he doesn't know where the tchuma ends? That's on daf. Membeis and Erevin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have Malchus? Whether kneading lush requires manual mixing or not? That's on Duff. Yudches and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we learn about the importance of learning Shnai Mikrova Echad Targum? That's on Duff. Ches and Brachos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. And this is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.